Hi, I'm Peter Solomon. You're tuned to The Morning Show on Minnesota's Jazz Station 88.5. Today, my guest is pianist Sean Mason, one of the bright stars in the world of jazz piano. You might have caught Mason performing at the Twin Cities Jazz Festival this summer when he accompanied vocalist Catherine Russell. The duet album they made together, called My Ideal, has been nominated for Best Jazz Vocal Recording in the 2026 Grammys. Mason's latest project is his sophomore album. It's called A Breath of Fresh Air, featuring catchy melodic compositions with clear gospel roots that evoke it times Horace Silver's work on Blue Note, with some modern twists thrown in. I began our conversation by asking Mason to talk about his formative musical influences when he was coming up as a young man in North Carolina.
My name is Sean Mason. I'm a jazz pianist and composer, and I was born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina. And you know, I had a dichotomy of two different musical traditions in my ear. At home, I was listening to a lot of 70s soul and funk music. That's what my mother played, and my dad played it as well. So Earth, Wind & Fire, Frankie Beverly, you know, P-Funk, etc. So that was the music that I was playing at home. And then I would go to church every Sunday, and I would hear black gospel music. So that was also hearing that. But then at school, you know, I was young, and so everybody listened to what was popular at the time, which was, I guess, pop music, hip hop, R&B. So jazz really didn't, it wasn't in my sphere at all. I had those three different elements that I was pulling from. And my mom really loved Ray Charles, and she started playing a lot of Ray Charles. And he embodies a lot of different styles into one person. So I would ask my mom a lot about, what is this Ray Charles? And then I watched the documentary about Ray Charles. And I said, all right, this is what I want to do. I want to play the blues. You know, I want to play jazz. This is the music I've been missing my whole life.
Let me tell you about a girl I know. She is my baby and she lives next door. Every morning before the sun comes up.
Ray Charles was the bridge. I didn't hear quote-unquote pure jazz at home, but Ray Charles was the best thing and the closest thing to it. And then I kind of like went down the rabbit hole, and that was that.
Your first recording was called Southern Sweet. And I was wondering if you could talk about growing up in the South and how that may have shaped your art and your experience.
Yeah, I dedicated my debut album to my upbringings in the South and what I learned. And I think the South teaches you, at least the South that I grew up in, teaches you tradition, but it doesn't teach you innovation. And so I guess I had to go to New York for that. But if I would have stayed in the South, I would have probably been doing the same thing that I was doing 10 years ago, because it doesn't encourage or teach innovation. It encourages a very traditional way of life. I think that worked for me to grow up in, but eventually I wanted to get out of my shell. So I felt like I was just clawing at something. But I'm glad to get rooted in tradition, because that mindset of respecting your elders, of learning the history of whatever the subject matter is, I took that and applied that to music. So I'm glad that I was able to have those values instilled in me. And so my life and what the Southern Sweet tries to balance is the balance between appreciating the old, but also being unapologetically yourself in the current time, no matter whose feelings that hurts.
Last year, you're on recordings collaborating with two distinct female artists. One is a poet I'm going to ask you about in a few minutes. The other one was the artist that you appeared with at the Twin Cities Jazz Festival. I'm thinking of Catherine Russell.
You stayed away too long. I mean a day too long. You had me ripe and ready to pick you for my steady, and then you stayed away too long. You made a big mistake.
She's someone whose family was important in the swing era, with her dad being Louis Russell and her mom being a singer, and she's super fluent in the repertoire of the 1920s and 30s. And so I was wondering how that partnership came about, and if that material that she sang was stuff that was already familiar to you, or if you had to study specifically in order to accompany her.
Yeah, I've been involved in the music of the 1920s and 30s for quite a while. It's music that I feel personally led and drawn to by choice. I think it's some of the greatest music ever recorded. So I think the joyfulness of the music, just pre-war jazz in general, I'd probably say most of my references come from that. The music recorded pre-war, 20s and 30s. So I love that music, and I played with a lot of those, we call them in the jazz industry, trad cats. And so I played with a lot of those trad cats. I'd say 80% of my work in New York when I first moved there was with trad musicians, collaborating with the Lindy Hop scene. On the flip side, I would play with a lot of modern jazz musicians too. So again, with the Southern Suite, I had a dichotomy of like, the modern jazz people hate the trad stuff. They are, you Uncle Tom, you blah, 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 you playing that trad old music and blah, blah, blah. But then the 1920s cats, the trad cats hate the modern stuff too. You know, oh, this stuff ain't swinging. It's, you know, kind of dealing with both of those things in my head at the same time is very interesting. But Kat and I got connected because she saw I love trad music, and you know, we had a nice little thing. So we decided to make a duo recording. It was her idea. She's like, man, you want to do some duos? I was like, yeah, let's do it. And we did it. And I'm really proud of that recording. And I love playing with Kat. She makes that music alive. She's singular in that way. She brings it to life. And it's an honor every time I get to play with her.
The name of this poem is How to Write a Poem About Ferguson. Or the name of this poem is.
So the other person that I was thinking of was Mahogany Brown, and you play musical settings for her poetry, her spoken word performances on an album called Chrome, and it kind of brought to mind some of Langston Hughes' things, but I was wondering if you could kind of talk about that and how you connected with her and how you approached that project.
Yeah, that was a very interesting project because the breadth of repertoire from a reference perspective is very limited as opposed to like the duo album I did with Kat. Well, all you gotta do is put on some Iranian and you're pretty set, right? To really just dig deep into that. So I had to really figure out what was Mahogany trying to say through her poetry, and how can I best convey that language in my best medium, which is the compositional and musical language. And I feel like we did a good job. I think that the tone of the project was very dark. You know, the subject message of the poetry was very dark, but optimistic in the same place. I like to call it nuanced optimism. And I tried to put that into the music as well. I had a lot of fun. We were all crying in the studio. Some of those songs, yeah, one of the songs, the singer was crying during the performance of it. And we kept that. And we said, this is the take, because that raw emotion came through in the studio. And it was that was really a beautiful project. And I got a lot of great musicians there. Very, like, on the other side of the coin, musically, than the Catherine Russell project.
So I want to move on to ask you about your new project, which is called A Breath of Fresh Air. Can you tell me the general idea behind the recording?
Unlike the Southern Suite, where the title has multi-layered meanings, this one was pretty much a punch in the face. It's just like, it's the title is what I hope the music can convey, which is what it feels like to step outside and breathe a breath of fresh air. But I mean that from a personal life perspective. I want the album to serve as a release and as something that people can put on and really, really enjoy. I think I've noticed at least that I like to make records that I like to listen to. I don't like making records that I don't like to listen to. And a lot of my mentors, when I was really coming up in the scene, they told me that they didn't listen to any of their records after they put them out, which I understand where they're coming from. But it always was weird to me, you know, because I would say, well, why would you make it if you don't want to listen to it? And if you don't want to listen to it, then how do you expect other people to want to listen to it? You know, it just didn't make any sense to me. So I try to make records that I personally enjoy, which means I have to kind of take myself out of it, which is why I'm glad I produce my own records, because I take myself out of it. And it's not a focus on my soloing or anything. It's just I want the music overall to sound good. And so I decided to name it A Breath of Fresh Air because that's the theme that was in my head when I was writing the compositions and when we recorded it, is that this really feels like a breath of fresh air.
I read that you were giving the music to the members of your group by playing it on the piano and having them learn it by ear. Is that the approach you took, and what advantages did that offer?
Yeah, it's the same approach I took for the Southern Suite. It's I guess my ethos of how I like to band lead, which is I send the songs and have them learn it by rote. And so now everything is on digital technology devices, so I can record a voice memo and I could record me playing the song on the piano, and I could send it to the guys. And so that's what I did. And so when we show up, they have the tune learned. But it's better that way than giving them a chart because they can hear the initial spirit. And so I just figured that that's the closest way they'll understand the spirit of the tunes, which is really hard to get when you notate the tunes out. And I actually notate them after the session. I don't even have notation before the session. So I notate the songs after the session because students love to play the music, and I want to provide them with the chart. I can't send them voice memos, you know, but at least with the band, I send them voice memos and they learn it. And if they have any questions, they'll pick up the phone. Having the guys call me and ask me more about the tune before we even play it just adds a level of spiritual connection where we can really connect as a band.
Can you talk about the members of your group and what they bring to the table?
Yeah, the members of the group. So I have a quintet. Tony Glaucy plays the trumpet. Chris Lewis plays the tenor saxophone. Felix Mosholm plays the bass, and Domo Branch plays the drums. And I'm of course on piano. And for me, what makes a group really work is balancing opposing forces. I don't want a group where it all seems like a monolithic stream of thought where everybody agrees with each other, both musically and outside of music. To me, that's not interesting. It makes for a very boring conversation to have an echo chamber. And so everybody is very diverse in the way that they think and the way that they approach music. And so Tony has a completely different conception of jazz than Chris does. And I love that because the way they blend is beautiful to take both of those. Chris really just goes for it. He's like, whatever the 80s term of young lions and the 90s term of young lions means, Chris embodies that. So he just goes for it all the time. Tony is very, very reserved. He's very patient. He's very careful. I'd say Chris embodies a masculine kind of energy where Tony embodies like a feminine kind of energy. It's beautiful because they complement each other. It's like Miles Davis and John Coltrane, the same kind of thing. I think those quintets work the best. And so I think the yin and yang has to work in the front line. And same with the rhythm section. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm kind of negotiating between the horn players and the rhythm section. Damo's from Portland. He's from the hood. He has a completely different kind of energy of how he plays the drums. Felix is from Denmark, you know, and so he has a completely different conception too, and it works. And what's beautiful is that they argue with each other. I remember when we were recording the Southern Suite, Damo and Felix would argue about the time, you know, like, man, you rushing, man, you rushing. Damo like, no, you rushing. And you know, it's this whole thing. And I found that to be beautiful. And then during A Breath of Fresh Air, Chris and Tony were arguing because I asked them on the song Duende, I asked them to trade, you know, fours and then trade twos and then just play like a dialogue. And, you know, we tried to take of it. And it wasn't working. I thought it worked great, but Chris was—he was like, "Man, this ain't working." You know, Tony, you're not playing with me. And it was this whole thing. And I was like, "All right, why don't we take like 15 minutes of a break?" You know, so we took 15 minutes and we talked it through. And so those kind of moments, I think, are great that you won't get if everybody agrees and everybody's just like, it's just this echo chamber. You don't really get that, and people are afraid to say things that are on their mind. You know, so I really think that this band is really diverse in a lot of ways. And what brought us together was that we are open-minded. And it's very challenging to have a conversation with somebody you disagree with and still remain friends afterwards.
Let me ask you, do you have any favorite moments from the new recording?
I really enjoy the whole record. I probably have favorite moments per song, but nothing really pops up except for. We just had a great time laying down the tracks. You know, we just had a really fun time. It was a lot of fun. We smiled and we laughed a lot.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts about the new album and talking about your background, and I've really been enjoying it.
Thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it, Peter.
pianist Sean Mason. His most recent project is called A Breath of Fresh Air. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.